shadows, step out of the grave, break into the wild, and don't be afraid. Run into wide open spaces, graces waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted, graces waiting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom. Someone shout praise. Oh, let there be freedom. Bring all of your burdens. Bring all of your scars. Come back to communion. Come back to the start. And run into wide open spaces. Graces waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted. Graces waiting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
There is freedom.
Come on, declare that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom. There is freedom.
Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness. Shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Yeah, stay right there, say that. Chains will fall, prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name. And lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. And chains will fall, prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name. And lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. One more time. Chains will fall, prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name. And lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom, let there be freedom. If you feel free this morning, let me hear a shout of praise. Chains will fall, prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name. And lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Come on, sing that out. Chains will fall, prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name. And lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. One more time.
Lord is,
there is freedom,
there is.
dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom. Let there be freedom.
Can I hear a hallelujah? Let's try that again. Let me hear you shout hallelujah.
Dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it. He did it. And dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it. He did it.
Let me see you move.
And dance like the weight has been lifted.
There you go.
He did it. He did it. And dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it. He did it. And shout like the chains have been broken. He did it. He did it.
Come on, praise Him.
Shout like the chains have been broken. He did it. He did it.
Come on, sing, dance.
And dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it. He did it. And dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it. He did it. He did it.
Praise you, Jesus, for giving us freedom over all sickness, over all disease, over all devices of the enemy. We have that victory this morning. Can I hear a hallelujah? Hallelujah.
I've seen you move. You move. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe.
Come on, put some faith on that.
Still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness.
He's faithful,
and I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. No way, and I believe.
Come on, if you've got a testimony in this place, lift it up.
I've seen you move. You move.
Has ever seen someone get saved? Yeah. Amen. Who here has ever seen a miracle? Woo. Amen. Whoever's experienced one in your own life? Hallelujah. Now who needs one today? Amen. We're going to put some faith on that today because I believe that it can happen right now in the presence of God. And we know the word says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I want everybody to get your hands up right now. To put some faith on whatever you're believing for, saying, I've seen you save people, you've saved me, you've healed me, you've provided for me, and I'll see you do it again because you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe. Yes, yeah, sing it out. To Jesus, I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You've never failed, and death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again, and you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign, and yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What
You're so powerful. And nothing can stand against what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again, and you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign, and yours is the sing that out.
The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but just saying that name, you can get healed right in your chair. Just saying the name, you can get saved right where you are. Just saying the name, you can be delivered. I don't know what problems you have, but I know this. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. recognizing the name of Jesus is everything. God gave us that name. You know, Jesus didn't need it. You know, that's really not his, Christ is not his last name. You know that, right? Jesus is his first name. His name means deliverance. And today, I don't know what you need, but I know this. The name of Jesus is in the room. Christ himself is in the room. He said, where are two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. So right now, just lift your hands up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that name is above every name. It doesn't matter what sickness, it doesn't matter what sin, it doesn't matter what situation. Your name is above every name. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I command every sickness and disease to bow your knee right now. I command blind eyes to open, deaf ears to hear. I command right now organs to start working properly. I command the blood to come into balance in Jesus' name. I command right now even the brain to be recalculated for the glory of God. Lord, I command right now every sickness and every disease to come into the authority of the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive your power right now. God, we just speak against anything that would hold us into bondage. And we declare, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So in the name of Jesus, every single demonic bondage, we bind you in Jesus' name. You have no authority and no power. God, we give you all the glory, for you are the delivering God. You are the loving God. You are the compassionate God. You are the saving God. You are the healing God. Lord, you are ever faithful, and Lord Jesus, you cannot lie. And we thank you for your goodness this morning. In the name of
Jesus.
I said, in the name of
Jesus.
Oh, amen. I'm excited. Today is an exciting day. I just got back from camp meeting with Brother Ted Shuttlesworth and also Bishop Rick Thomas. And man, I tell you, the prophetic, I've never seen Brother Ted move in the anointing like this ever. He's very excited about coming with us this Easter season. Starting on Good Friday, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth will be with us Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, only one service, 10 a.m. You better get here early, because I know what happens already. We don't even have enough chairs. We're going to have to buy some. Amen. And then also Sunday night, Easter Sunday night, Brother Ted's going to be here. I was just with him, literally. I watched a lady who's been blind in her left eye from birth. She was now, they closed her right eye, and she was able to do everything that Brother Ted was doing. She could see completely without any restraint. I watched this lady. She was born deaf, never heard a day in her life, and God opened her ears right there. A man with Parkinson's disease, he was shaking violently, and the Brother Ted laid hands on him in the name of, I said, in the name of
Jesus.
That's right, it's not the name of Brother Ted, it's the name of
Jesus
is the healer. Can I hear an amen? And so he's shaking violently with Parkinson's disease. And I literally was standing behind the man. And the power of God hit him. And he went straight down. They picked him back up. Brought him back to Brother Ted. And then the guy just starts staring. Because there's no more tremors. He's starting to do things. Everything that he was doing before. He couldn't do before. He's doing it now. I want you to know that God is a healing God. God loves you. And man, the prophetic words, even over this house, were so tight. I'm excited. Second service, I'm not going to exercise that, but in second service, I'm actually going to pray something Brother Ted told me to pray. We're going to see God bring deliverance. Amen?
Amen.
It's a powerful thing to know that God is able to do abundantly above all you can even ask and or imagine. Our God is good.
Amen.
Now this morning, we need to pray. Is that all right? Pastor Ron is in New Brunswick, Canada. Pastor Obi is in Campeche, Mexico. Pastor Cody is in Ithaca. Pastor Chad and Jade are in South Africa. Pastor Dan is back in Mansfield where he belongs. Amen. I'm back in the house where I belong. Amen. And then we also have Pastor Aaron is all the way out in Michigan. All of them doing ministry. They're not just visiting. They're doing some level of ministry in all those areas. So I want you to realize, literally this morning, His Tabernacle Family Church, not only by who's watching by live stream, but literally your pastors, the pastors of this church, are all over the world. Isn't that exciting? Right from this cornfield. Isn't God good? Amen. Father, we just pray that you'll cover each one of the pastors as they do ministry. Lord, increase their anointing. Increase the signs and wonders. Increase, oh God, that your name will be great. And that, Jesus, you will be lifted up and people will be saved, healed, and set free in every one of these levels of ministry that they're doing. So, God, we just thank you this morning that you have given us a world reach for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome five or six folks you do not know. Come on, everybody, get right out of your seats. Come on, get right out of your seats. Go find somebody you don't know and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today.
Morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Are you excited to be in the house of God this morning? Amen. There is nothing better than being in a house that preaches the raw word of God. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, my mind is going to be transformed today. Amen. So we welcome you. We would also welcome our live stream family today. We're so excited to celebrate Jesus with you. If you are a guest in the house this morning, we're going to ask you to raise your hand. We have a fabulous gift for you. Go ahead and keep your hand raised. We have some of our guest hosts that are going to come around and give you that gift. Also, directly after service on this side of the building, we have a guest reception, which gives us an opportunity to get to know you, for you to get to know us. We cannot wait to build relationship with you and share about some of the fabulous things that God has given us to offer you throughout the week, just to encourage you and build up your faith to develop your relationship with him. So if you're a guest in the house, just keep that hand raised and someone will come around to bring you that guest packet. We always have amazing things happening in this house for you to grow, for you to be built up, for you to be equipped, brought to unity, right? Isn't that what we do in this house? That's the vision of God for this house, and we operate fully within it. So we have some opportunities for you to participate, firstly in ministry. So if you are interested in participating with the security team in any way, shape, or form, then I'm going to encourage you to see Alec Brown, or you can go out to the information booth at the front in the foyer, and they will point you in his direction. It's an awesome opportunity for you to protect the anointing of God on the house. That's what the security team does, is they protect the anointing that is on the house. Also, on Thursday nights at 6:30, if you have teenagers or you are a teenager and you are not participating with Uproar Ministry, you need to get involved with the youth group. What I love about our youth group is that, one, the word is rich. Two, it's so much fun. Three, we don't believe that you have to wait until you're an adult to start to do ministry. We believe that you can do ministry in whatever arena God has already put you in. So if you are interested in learning how to grow your relationship with Jesus, stepping into places of ministry, but also having a really great time with other people your age, you want to get involved with youth group, 6:30 p.m. Thursday night, 7th through 12th grade. You do not want to miss it. On that note, I would like to turn it over to Zach. He's going to come and do our tithes and offerings.
What's going on? Morning, guys. I want to challenge you this morning not to tune out during this. I did it for a long time, and I think what happens is we show up and we hear the same routine every Sunday morning, and we kind of get into a rut where we just tune out during times like this. And I think that it's hard for some people because they believe that maybe they don't have enough money to give for it to make an impact on the church. But I want to really encourage you today of a couple different things. God has such a desire to see you increased from the level that you're at. There's nothing wrong with the level you're at now. Some people need a ride, some people have a ride, and some people can buy a bus so that others have a ride. And there's nothing wrong with being at any of those levels. But where the problem arises is when you don't strive to change from that level to the next level. You have to have that desire in your heart, given by God, to go to that next level. Tithing is important because if you're going to go to that next level, there's a couple things you need to be concerned with. The Bible tells us that when you tithe, God himself will reach down and rebuke the devourer for your sake. Why is that important in your life? On national average, NBA players within 18 months of retirement have lost every penny that they got from their contracts. Some of them over $18 million. There's a big difference, people of God, between someone who has the devourer rebuked and someone who doesn't. You have to have that set in your heart that I'm sowing, I'm giving, not just for increase in other people. Listen, I've been to a lot of services. I've heard a lot of different offering messages. And you know what ones always stir me up? And it's not a selfish thing. The Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. You have to understand what giving does for you. It's great that it does stuff for other people, but giving makes the biggest impact in your life. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. I spent a long time trying to figure this out, trying to make it make sense, and I gave, but I didn't give like I give now. And you know what happens when I made a decision? And there was two people that spoke into my life about this, and I made a decision, and I said, I'm going to try what the Bible says. I'm going to try not only to tithe, but to sow. Because I was taught that tithing doesn't have a blessing attached. Tithing will rebuke the devourer. But you have to put seed in the ground. You have to have something that will grow. Deuteronomy tells us that if we carefully obey the commands that are given by God, that he will richly bless us. It tells us in verse 10 that all the nations of the world will see, when we obey this, that we are a people claimed by God, and they will stand in awe of our lives. I don't know about you, but I've never seen anyone stand in awe of middle class. I've never seen anyone stand in awe of upper class. I believe wholeheartedly that when you give your heart to giving into God's kingdom, not only will other people be changed, but your life will be greatly impacted by it. Not just something that can't be seen. How many people have had that time where, like, you get a new bonus check or you get unexpected money and it feels good, and then all of a sudden the furnace breaks or the car breaks down? How many people have said this, like, oh, it just seems like I can never get ahead? Tithing sets you up so that that money cannot be touched anymore. God has never been surprised. God has never been taken by shock with a situation in your life. So today, I want to encourage you. Make a decision that you won't be somebody that floats through tithe and offering. You won't be somebody that comes up and throws $5 in. You will take the time. You will obey the commands of God. And you will say, today, not only do I give because I was told to or because I was taught to, I give because the Bible tells me that every time I put seed in the ground, a harvest is not recommended. It's guaranteed in my life. I want everybody to stand on their feet with me. When we do this today, I don't want to do this like every Sunday. I want you to take the time to acknowledge what you're letting out of your mouth. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. So when you say this declaration today, it's not just a memory verse, it's not just a fun thing we say. This declaration has the power to change your situation today. So repeat after me.
If I obey,
I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings will chase me down. They'll trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Come and sow your tithe. Isn't God good? I was so excited to watch Pastor Rhonda preaching, and she's up in Canada. Just wow, having a great time. How many of you know we have a campus in Canada? It's called His Tabernacle Canada, the first one in New Brunswick. It's exciting as we're watching God move in that church. When we started helping them about a year and three, 4 months ago, they were running about 25 people. And now, glory to God, they're cresting 99 and 100. In fact, Pastor Rhonda, on Friday night, there was not one chair left in the entire room. Everyone was absolutely packed out. And so God is moving by His Spirit. Last week, down in Mansfield, 91 people down in Mansfield. Amen. Come on now. Up in Ithaca, we're cresting about 200 souls already. In fact, I was preaching with them this last week, and that's why I wasn't in the house. I was in Ithaca. And as I was preaching, I was reminding them. Actually, I started introducing daily seed. How many of you are still doing daily seed? So doing daily seed, and
And I was sharing with them that they need to start doing that because we're going to need to buy a building in Ithaca. And I don't know, man. The prices are like nuts up there. The building that we're in, they want $3 million for. The building, the CVS in front of them, they want $4 million for. And so we're just believing God for a supernatural miracle in Ithaca, because once they hit 300 souls, there's no more room in that sanctuary. That's with two services. So that's the vision for 2020 is 300 souls in Ithaca. And listen, that's only 100 people. Yesterday, when they went out on the streets in Ithaca, soul winning. I love that. So God's moving, and I just love what the Holy Spirit is doing down in Kentucky. The church is growing down there, and in West Virginia, we're coming to an impasse in West Virginia, and you need to pray for the pastor there. He took over a denominational church that is a board-run church, and God is starting to move in such a manner that the board members shut down the worship. They said they got angry and brought it back to the old style. And the pastor is a little frustrated. And I said, well, you know, it is a board-run church. And by constitutional law, they have a right to do whatever they want there. You don't. So we don't know. We might be starting a His Tabernacle, actual name, His Tabernacle in West Virginia. Amen. And then Pastor Obi's down in Campeche, Mexico. And we did our very first Bible college graduation in Campeche, Mexico, with the local pastors down there. God is moving. I love the fact that lives are being transformed. Shout it out loud with me, unstoppable! The supernatural church! Tell somebody, unstoppable! The supernatural church! That's right. You see, we are the church of the supernatural in a natural world. When we don't understand that, then we start adopting the world's principles into the church instead of the church going into the world. Can I hear an amen? We're here to bring change and transition to our region, and not through religion, through the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. But that can't happen if we don't believe who we actually are. You see, if you don't believe that you're a prince, then you'll never enjoy the kingdom's promises. Until you realize and believe who you are, you're always going to live substandard or just in suffice mode. But God has a plan for us. We are the body of Christ. Shout, we're unstoppable! Shout it aloud, the supernatural church! As the supernatural church in a natural world, we bring the answer. And I want you to realize, we are the salt and the light. Without this world, the devil can do whatever he desires. Without you and I here, the Bible says when the rapture occurs that the devil is going to be released upon the earth to do what he desires. You see, the only way that he can do that is because the salt and the light are gone. You are so imperative to the plan of God. You are so important to God's desire to see his will come on this earth. Our verse for the year is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, and it says this, "And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so your trust will not be in the human wisdom, but in the power of God." The church has to get back to being supernatural again. We have repelled the supernatural because we want to be relevant in this world. You cannot make a difference in the world if you are like them. You cannot make a difference in the world when you have light shows. And we have a great light show. Come on, give our light show a great clap of hand. I love the ambiance and I love the experience. But you know what? You can have an experience, but without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then nothing is going to occur. People do not need another light show. People do not need another worship song. People need the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. It was so exciting watching as one of the people that was deaf got healed. I watched her eyeballs. I mean, it was really kind of weird because her eyeballs didn't like stay in her socket. They moved out. You know, when you look at somebody and their eyes are like this beyond where their eye socket is supposed to be. It was just like she was freaked out. Why? Because she was touched by Jesus. Now watch this. There is no way for her ever to doubt that God is real. In fact, what was really cool too was Brother Ted actually went out and picked out these two little girls. They were probably 9 and 10 years old. brought them up, and one of them was a visitor of her friend. You saw that? Wasn't it cool? That little girl, the long-haired girl, the one he started ministering to first, had never been in church. She wasn't a church girl. But what happened was the Lord started speaking prophetically about her family, about her mom and her dad and the problems they're having in their home. And he says, you don't know me and I don't know you. And she said, no. And he said, well, who's telling me this? She said, Jesus is telling. And right there, he led her to the Lord. She had never been born again. He led her to Jesus right there. Right there. Why? Because she could not deny that God was real. It's not a matter of words or human wisdom. It's the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have never had a supernatural experience with God. You have confessed Christ. You believe in God. But you've still never had a supernatural power released in your life. And God wants to take you to another level. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Your faith should be built upon not on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. And we're going to need this, especially in these last days. Right now, I just saw something this morning that in China, they're going to start killing all the pastors. So they destroyed all the churches in China. They went down and they destroyed all the churches. Now they're going to start targeting. They've been targeting the pastors, but throwing them mainly in prison. So there are pastors that are in prison in China for the last 20 years for only one reason, and that is they preach Jesus. That's it. That's the only reason they're in prison. They're preaching Jesus. And now they're going to start targeting to kill them because they preach Christ as Savior. You see, if we've ever needed the supernatural power of God in our lives, if the church has ever needed to be the supernatural church, it's now. I said it's now. Now I said it's now. Amen. Turn to someone and say, the natural will never change the supernatural. But the supernatural can change the natural. You see, that is the key here, is recognizing that if we are going to stay with the natural mindset, then the church is nothing more than a club. What brings the church change is when God is present in the house, is when God is moving supernaturally in the house, is when God heals bodies, he transforms them through the power of salvation. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. You see, when we recognize that the supernatural is not a figment of our imagination, I don't know if you saw it the other day, but I made a post on Facebook about psychics. Whoa, baby, I love the fact. Did you notice one thing? They got mad that I started posting about psychics, but they did not deny their power. Even the world recognizes the demonic power of Lucifer. Yet the church is afraid to move in the power because they don't want to turn anybody off. But Satan doesn't mind it. It's time for the church to get back to who we are. The devil is a counterfeiter. Can I hear an amen? I said, the devil is a counterfeiter. Can I hear an amen? My God is the God of the supernatural. But why we are the supernatural church and the call of God on our life as the supernatural church, we have to remain with clarity of why we're doing what we're doing. You know, many people have stopped loving people. 30 years ago, we used to love people and use things. Now people love things and use people. It's very true. Can I hear an amen? You know it's true. We've changed. And the church has changed. The average church in America sees less than one soul saved a year. What does that mean? There is no love in the body of Christ. Because when people don't get saved, it means the church has stopped being the church, which means they've stopped loving God. Because if you love God, then there's always going to be a flow of heaven through your life. And that is, Jesus came to seek and to save them which are lost. So when nobody's getting saved in church, then the issue comes back to, have I stopped loving God and loving people? You see, when we lose this, we've lost everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3 says this, if I could speak all languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I'll be only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, how much knowledge? All knowledge means you're the most brilliant person on this planet. And if I had such faith that I could move mountains. Now that one messes people up. The Bible says even if you have all the faith to move mountains, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. If you do that, but love is not part of your life, then you're a clanging cymbal and a gong. You got a pot and pan for me? And this is a problem, because when we do not grasp this, then we forget why we're here. It's kind of quiet. Can we get louder pans? Can you go find me louder pans? If I had all the faith to move a mountain, but I don't have love, if I don't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. You see, when we lose why we are the supernatural church, then we lose the very essence of our being. Where there is no vision, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, then there is only chaos and confusion. And that's where many of us are living in. Yes, you're born again. Yes, you're going to heaven. Yes, you love God in your own mentality. But what's happened is you've stopped loving other people. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as your... And so what's happened is we've gone from being people of love to being people where we just go to church and do nice things. Come on now. There's two types of love. You have natural love and you have... That's the most noise they made the whole time right there. You have natural love and you have supernatural love. You know, there are people that have been married. They've been married 40, 50, 60, 70 years that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, yet genuine love was in their life. That is called natural love. And natural love is important. We've got to love. Can I hear an amen? You know, when you ask somebody what they're believing for, we just want everyone to love each other. Come on now. That's just a good thought, but that's probably never going to happen. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But the church has to get back to the supernatural kind of love. Not just the natural kind of love, but the supernatural love. And that is called agape love. And that is where I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3, 4 through 6, actually explain what that love is. Our problem is that most of us don't love ourselves enough, therefore we don't love others. Or we don't love God enough, therefore we don't love ourselves, therefore we don't love others. Or it stops in one of those locations. Or if you're using natural love, then you love others. That's it. And here's the problem. All of that is messed. You've got to have it right. Remember that God has an order in life. When you're going to talk about love, benevolence is not love. We have organizations that literally are all over the planet that do really nice, genuine things that show love to people. You have the United Way, the American Red Cross, the Humane Society, Feeding America, March of Dimes. The list is so massive that you can't even read them all. I got online. There's so many of them, literally pages and pages on the internet of benevolent community groups that are doing good things. But the problem is they're feeding only the natural love and they're not feeding and coupling with the supernatural love. The issue is that you can, come on, it's the old statement, you can give a man a fish and he eats for a day. Or you can teach a man to fish and he can eat for life. You can give somebody something nice and being kind and benevolent, but if they do not know Jesus Christ, then it will only suffice with their breath that they have on this planet. And then for all of eternity, they'll be separated from God. What's happened is we have a lot of benevolent churches that have stepped out of the supernatural love of God. And here, we can't help any other church. But our responsibility here is to make sure that we are unstoppable, the supernatural church. And when the church becomes unstoppable is when we do it God's way. Can I hear an amen? When you start doing it God's way, then God is behind you. When God is behind you, it doesn't matter what weapon is formed against you. And in that means we have got to start loving people all over again. I got two amens. Say amen or oh my. Sadly enough, many of these benevolent organizations actually show more love than the church. It's true. Come on now.
Well, I don't want to be offended at church. Well, probably the wrong church.
Not here to offend you, but I'm here to push you. Amen. Why? Well, because we can't stay where we're at. We got too much work to do. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Don't be a slug. Amen. The issue is that so many outside organizations are showing love, but the church has stopped showing love to our community. Now I'm going to tell you, that's not the way it is here. When you understand all the things we do here for our community, it is astronomical. And man, you can see it within the budget of the church. If you were at the annual business meeting, you see how much we actually gave, including the other campuses, which are doing all outreaches and so on and so forth. Last year, I think it was over $500,000 we put back into our community, into home and foreign missions. It's phenomenal. Come on now, that's something to give praise for. One day I was in the mayor's office, and I sat with the mayor. It was the very first time I sat with the mayor at that point. And I said to her, I said, you know, what can we do for you? Because her mentality was, what do you want? She said, it's very rare for a church to come into my office and not ask for something. I said, we're not here to take. What can his tabernacle do for Elmira? And her statement to me was very unique. She said, a lot of churches promise but never come through with anything. And I said, I'm sorry for what they have done, but we are different. And in Elmira, God has used us to touch the young people. God has used us to clean up parks. God has used us to love our community. God has used us to go out, and we've had so many different rock the cities down there. We couple with organizations that are down there. We couple, and we love EOP. Can I hear an amen? We help EOP. We bless people. And man, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. You see, the Bible says you can prophesy, you can do all these nice things, you can move mountains, you can give everything to the poor, you can even die for your cause. But if you do not love, it means nothing. And in the church, there's been a loss of love. And this is, I believe, a diabolical plot that we've seen through history, where church is no longer really lifestyle. Church is now more visitation. Where people come in and they visit the church. They come in and listen, this is their home. Man, we've had people that have left this church, literally, I'm not even exaggerating, you could ask Pastor Dan. They left this church 10 years ago. We haven't seen them in 10 years. And we'll reach out to them, and this is what they'll tell us. Well, what do you mean? I haven't gone anywhere. That's my home church. We haven't seen you in 10 years. It's amazing when you realize the visitation mindset. But what happens is, What the enemy has been working within the church world is getting the church to be a place of visitation instead of a place of habitation, because where there is no habitation, there is no care. Now listen, I love you, but if you invite me over to your house for supper, I'm going to eat your supper, but I'm not going to wash your dishes. Amen. Now if you ask me to wash the dishes, make sure you ask me before you invite me. When I come to your house, I'm not looking at your garbage and saying, boy, your garbage is full. Maybe I should empty it. You've invited me over for supper. So I'm going to come and eat supper. If I invite you over to my supper, I'm not asking you to clean my garbage. Say amen. Amen. So here we are. What's happened is with this visitation mentality instead of habitation, you see, when it's your home, you take care of it. When it's not, you don't really care. Come on, am I preaching all right? This is the truth, and this is the problem, because where this is really hitting at is love. My stepfather was over the house Sunday before, and he walked into the kitchen, and he saw the garbage was full. Now, we eat lunch at my house every Friday morning with my family, and every Sunday. We have a very tight-knit family, and we eat together all the time. And my stepfather walked in, and he walked over, and he emptied the garbage. He knows where his bread is buttered. Can I hear an amen? But it went from something different for me. To him, it was just emptying the garbage. But for me, it was more than that. For me, it went from, he's no longer just coming to eat my food. He's now actually part of the family. I was dating this girl in Bible school. And I brought her home. I brought her home on Thanksgiving break. So we went to my sister Sherry's house. And so all the men are in there watching football and all this stuff. And the ladies are out cooking and making the food. And my girlfriend, she came in and sat with the guys watching the football. All young ladies, listen. And so after the meal was over, she came back in and was watching football. Well, I'm starting to leave. I'm going back to Bible college. And I'm taking my girlfriend, we're heading back to school. And my mother and my aunt walk and said, we need to talk to you for a moment. And I said, hey. They said, get rid of her. Gone. She didn't help us. She's out of here. I'm thinking, boy, that's kind of mean. But they were right. Because if you're just a visitor, it's one thing. But when you take up a habitation, you care about what's around you because there's a love that's bred. Can I hear an amen? And this is what's occurred in the body of Christ. This is a diabolical plot from Lucifer to get the love out of you. So you love yourself. Come on now. You love yourself and your own house more than you love God and you love his house. Habakkuk chapter 2. I don't know if you've ever read that before. I got to make sure that's the right verse. No, that's not right. Where are you? Hold on, I'll find it. I'll look it up and I'll post it. Here we go. It says, you have holes in your pocket. You're making money. Someone find that verse for me. You're making money and you got holes in your pocket. And you got holes in your pocket because you take care of your house. You love your house more than you love my house, saith the Lord. See, we've gone from a place to where the body of Christ is actually a body, and we've gone to a place where we all just have parts. But a part in and of itself cannot truly accomplish God's plan for the region. Can I hear an amen? It's all based on love. And when you love God, you love God's house. Find it? Haggai, not Habakkuk. Haggai 1:6. So what's happened is the love has gone out of the body of Christ. Now listen, I'm not saying you're going to hell. I'm not saying you don't love Jesus. But I'm saying you've stopped loving. I'm not saying you. Don't take it personal. The body of Christ at large has stopped loving vision. And the vision of God's house is not internal. The vision of God's house is external. Jesus said, I did not come to be served. I came to serve. Jesus said, listen, I didn't come to sit. I came to seek and to save them which are lost. You see, there's something that happens when you love God. You start loving people again. You start loving others even more than yourself. You start saying, God, I want to thank you that I'm not just a benevolent person. I'm not just a nice person who gives. But, Lord, I give because of your love for me. For greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. You see, this is we're talking about genuine love. love, the God kind of love, shares and must be our motivator. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friend. John 13:35, they will know us by our love. Matthew 22:36 through 40, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 Corinthians 13:3, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, we know how much God loves us. We have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. True love demonstrates. Now, if my wife was here, she would be cowering right now, because I would pull her up right next to me and I'd gaze into her eyes and I'd stick my tongue out and I'd say, kiss me, baby. I would kiss her on the face and she'd be tolerating because she loves you. But true love demonstrates. If there's no demonstration, then there is no love. I said, if there is no demonstration, there is no love. You can love a pair of socks, but if you never put them on, you don't really like them. Amen. You can say you love your spouse, but if you never hug them, hold them, kiss them, and love them, spouse. I wanted to clarify that. Then there's no demonstration. If you never tell your spouse you love them, and man, some of you have gone through that. Some of you have had parents that never once told you that they loved you. Man, one of the greatest joys that I get as a pastor is being able to share true love. I love God's people. I love you. Now listen, people have accused me of a lot of things, but there's something they can never diffuse, and that is I and my wife genuinely love people. We genuinely love you. It is not a show. It is not a fairy tale. We genuinely love you. We care about you. But in that, if I say I care but never do, then do you really care? See, this is the motivator. Love is that motivator. So when we're not motivated to show love, then we've got to ask ourselves, what are we lacking? Because if you have love, you'll have motivation. Ooh, come on, you're awful quiet this morning. If you genuinely love something, you do something. You can say you love God, but if you never serve God, then you don't love him. You like the thought of loving him. You like the mental assent of loving him. But you don't love him. Because when, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, the word believe there is not a noun, it is a verb. When you genuinely love somebody, there is an evidence, there is a demonstration of that love. So where there is no demonstration, now listen, now you can have demonstration without love, but if you have love, you will automatically demonstrate. Remember James says that? He said, listen now, you can show me your works, but no faith. But I'll show you my works by my faith. You see, when you have faith in God, when you love God, then there is a demonstration of that. There is always a demonstration of where you genuinely love. Right now, we call it our priorities of life. If you take your checkbook out right now, you can actually look at your checkbook. You can actually look down at where you've spent your money, and where you spent your time and your money is genuinely what you love. Where you spend your time and your money is genuinely what you love. That's why a church that says, and I mentioned it earlier, a church that says, well, we love our community, but they spend no money reaching out to their community, blessing their community, helping their community, building their community. They can say it all they want, but the fact is if you got no money towards it, then that is not truly a priority. One of our priorities of the children is taking back the generation that is being lost in the city of Elmira. That is one of our priorities of life. And we spend money to do that. Every single week, we're spending about $750. It just went up another $150. $750 on Wednesdays and Thursday nights to go down with buses that we lease and go down and have kids get on a bus. We bring them back here. Matthew chapter 25 with Tammy Sumi. Her group sits down and feeds them all. They all have a great meal that night. No, they're not getting like a sliver of bacon. They're getting real food. I'm talking real sit-down, home cooking food every single Wednesday night. And then she has a whole group that feeds them and sits with them, has a family meal with them. It is just awesome. And then Pastor Aaron has all the, come on now, I just want to say thank you all who call yourself part of this outreach that we do on Wednesdays and Thursdays. You are genuinely making a difference in the city of Elmira. Why? Because if we can take that generation back, if we can fill them with God, if we can get them saved, it is more than just words. It is coupling natural love with supernatural love that will transition a region. See, everything is about, do we genuinely love people? Jesus loved us so much, he demonstrated it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Love is not just a word, it must be experienced. Well, I don't have time. Well, listen now. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. That's a fact. You see, I do a lot of what I do ministry-wise because I want something when I'm old. I'm going to sow where I'm at so I can have a harvest later in life. I'm sowing my life to God's kingdom. I'm sowing my life to loving people. I'm sowing my life to building leaders. I'm sowing my life to you. Why am I sowing my life? Because I know, listen, well, you know, I don't do anything to get. You're a liar. You just breathed. For you to breathe means you had to give up what you first had. Everything you and I do in this entire life, listen now, you learn this real early in ministry. If the people can't understand what they're going to get out of it for a benefit for their own life, they're not going to listen to you. That is true. Amen. Tell somebody he's not lying. Everybody wants something. And you see, when you genuinely love somebody, you actually lay your life down and know that it's going to cost you, but that you're going to be able to build somebody else. You're going to be able to strengthen somebody else. You're going to be able to help somebody else. You're going to do something for God. You're going to show and demonstrate your love for him, but you're also demonstrating your love for other people. But what happens in the body of Christ, now listen, it's not that way in this church, but the majority of churches, 90% of the people do nothing and 10% of the people do the work. That's not the way it is in this house. We're about 40, 35 to 40% of the people working in this house. That's a really high number. But that means the majority of you do nothing here. Kumbaya. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Someone's dying, Lord. Kumbaya. Ready? Oh, Lord, kumbaya. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? God loves a soul-winning church. Man, people have said to me, well, you know, Pastor, you know, there's not a lot of real mature Christians in your church. Good! It means people are getting saved. Man, when everybody in the church is 80 years old and they were saved 436 years before, then there's a problem. That means it's a dead, dying church. You see, when God demonstrates love, it's the greatest supernatural love you can get. It means he's going to take you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's going to wash your sins away and make you a whole new person. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God delivers. God saves. God heals. God is for you, not against you. Man, I want you to realize when you know God, there's nothing that you don't have available. For now you are part of the kingdom of God, and he is your king. And your constitution says, whatever I say is yours, is yours. According to my word, for God cannot lie. There's not one jot or tittle shall pass away before all things that come to fruition. I want you to hear me today. God shows, God demonstrates, God declares his love, not with word, but with deed. And the church, there's got to be a resurrection in the church again. There's got to be a resurrection going from visitation to habitation, to being part of something as just coming in. And now I want to love. I want to love the vision. I want to love the passion. I want to love the people. Well, you know, I don't like people. I just don't like people. No, that means you're hurt. That means you need healing. Well, I'm just the kind of person that I don't like people. No, that means you're hurt. You were created so powerfully by Jesus to love others. God put that in you. That is not a man thing. That is not a personality trait. That is not something that you just kind of get a hold of. No, this is by the Spirit. You see, as the supernatural church, we love what God loves. We want to do what God does. We want to be where God is. We want to demonstrate how God demonstrates. We want the supernatural because it's natural in heaven. It's time to recognize that if we're going to be like God, we're going to have to start loving people. But Pastor, you said we got a high number of people that love people. Yes, but I want you all. Well, that's kind of greedy. Yes, yes. It's absolutely greedy. But you got it wrong. I'm not being greedy for me. I'm being greedy for you. For as a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. You see, the Bible says that we're going to be judged for our words and our works. But if you got no works, what's going to happen? We know that God said he gave us talents. According to Matthew chapter 25, he gave one a certain amount, another another. These other two provided and produced and doubled what they had. The one that had the one went and hid it. And God said, listen, I don't even know you. Come on now. Cast them into outer darkness. We've got to recognize that this is about you and I being more than just quote unquote a church, but we are the body of Christ. We are the voice piece of heaven on earth. We are unstoppable. The supernatural church, the physical body of Christ through the supernatural manifestation of Christ who rose from the dead. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouth. We are his love. We are Christ here on this planet. And when the church loses that, then they lose the very meaning of coming through the doors. Say amen. What separates the Christian, what separates the church from natural love? Because let's be honest. If you look at a lot of these organizations, they do all these telethons and they raise massive amounts of money and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Can you imagine, and maybe you can find this for me, how many billions of dollars has been raised for cancer? Billions, not millions, billions. But the moment, come on now, I just had it this week. The moment you start talking about finances in the kingdom of God, people get all mad. All they want is your money. Keep it in your pocket. God is the source of this house, amen? Amen. And if God can't get it through you, he'll get it through somebody else, and he's done that before multiple times. The point is that where there is true love, there is true manifestation. Where there is no manifestation, there genuinely is not love. Don't be deceived. When we only care about us and surviving and doing our own little thing, some of you, man, you are going to stay in survival mode the rest of your life. Why? Because you're not a giver. I'm not talking money. You don't give your life. You do no ministry. It's all about you. It's all about you being happy. It's all about you being taken care of. It's all about you doing what you want. I'm here to tell you, if it was all about that, then you don't need to get saved. God is raising up his church in these last days, and I mean that, in these last days. In these last days that we are literally standing in. When you look at the epic portion of history that we are provided to see through the anointed word of God, we have never been where we are, supernaturally seeing the unfolding of the great tribulation, as God is soon going to have the trumpet of God sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. It's called the rapture of the church. When the rapture of the church happens and all hell breaks here on earth as the salt and the light are eradicated, we've got to recognize that we have a short window of time. Listen, I'm not here to do a nice little religion. Just saying, we're here to do the work and the will of God. And I do believe this: if God can save the city called Samaria in the book of Acts chapter 9, then he can save Elmira, he can save Corning, he can save Waverly, he can save Mansfield, he can save Wellsboro, he can save Enfield, he can save Newfield, he can save Ithaca, he can save Aaron, he can save Breezeport, he can save Spencer.
Well, I don't know.
Listen, what changes people, because we're all looking for the same two things, is love and acceptance. And when you stop loving, you actually start losing your own opinion of yourself. You see, this is why we have people that are very wealthy that will do good, benevolent things, because it makes them feel good inside. But what happens to the church is we're so engulfed with our own little lifestyle that we do nothing for ministry, and therefore we start feeling badly, even though we know we're going to heaven. If you never give, you can't receive. If you sow sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. If you sow nothing, you get nothing. Hi. Can you imagine if everybody in this room, everybody watching by live stream, everybody decided to do one thing for Jesus a week for the kingdom? I'm not talking going to church. Forsake not the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is. That's not doing, you're not doing anything for God. You're not doing anything special. It's like me borrowing your car and bringing it back full of gas. Did I do anything special for you? No, I borrowed your car. I should bring it back full of gas. Even Hertz Rent-A-Car expects that. Or they charge you more. But can you imagine if everybody in this room just did one thing for Jesus a week? Even if it only took you 30 minutes, even if it only took you 1 hour, if you gave your life just one day a week to where you served and loved somebody else, not in word but in deed. Guys, what would happen to your life? You know how rich you'd be? See, wealth has nothing to do with money. Wealth has everything to do with your spirit. There are people that are very physically wealthy that are very genuinely poor. And then there are people that don't have a lot, but their life is so enriched because they are so full of love. Well, I love my children. That's just it. Really? Really, because you see, what I learned was if I trained my children how to love other people, then when they grew up, they were richer than me. My ceiling became their floor. You see, I brought my kids to all these activities. I tortured my children 7 days a week. I was in church. Come on now. And when they were homeschooled, I tortured them all day long. They were always doing things for Jesus. When I was doing visitations in the hospital, I would bring them. When I was traveling as an evangelist, I would bring them. When I would go and help out building the washing stuff, doing stuff for people, moving them. Dear Lord,
I remember this one place, man, it was really bad. You know, we moved them, and this guy had like a bandage, but you walked in, you could smell something's not right here. And he took a bandage off, and maggots started crawling out of his leg. But man, when you love people, you're willing to do things that don't even make sense. Come on now. Thank God for Bob Clark. I just got to say that out loud. I did not clean the maggots. Bob Clark cleaned the maggots. I just tried not to vomit. Because then there's another mess to clean up. See, that was true love, not vomiting. My question is simple. When was the last time you loved somebody in inconvenience? You see, if a seed is always just convenient, then there's really no cost to the seed. Ooh, come on now. Remember, Dr. Avanzini preached that message called Precious? If it's not precious, it doesn't matter the amount. If it's never precious, it means nothing to you. It means nothing to God. If we're not giving out of our lives and something that's precious, man, it's not abnormal for me to get, listen now, it's not abnormal for me to get text at midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning. It's not abnormal for that. Now listen, this is not a tiny church. It's not a big church, but it's not a tiny church. And I have all this staff. But you have never sent me a message that I have not answered. And it doesn't matter what time of night if I'm awake. And I have prayed, God, let me sleep sounder in Jesus' name. But what happens is, why do I do that? Because there's love. Why do I teach Rock Solid Faith on Tuesday nights? I don't have to teach Rock Solid Faith on Tuesday nights. I love you, man. I want you to have the greatest biblical understanding of God's word that you can ever acquire. And that's why I teach on Tuesday nights. And who's the last one to leave on Tuesday nights? Me. Besides the security team. Why is that? Because I want to be here. I want to answer every question you have. I want to hug you if you want to hug. I want to pray for you if you want to be prayed. Why? Because I love you. You see, it cost me something, though. It cost me a night away from my wife. The driveway is not because I think I'm cute, although. Why am I in the driveway every Sunday morning? Listen, the only time you've not seen me in that driveway is either I'm not in the building or it's lightning out. Because I love you. He hasn't called me to die for you yet. But I've been out there at 5 degrees. This morning was 13 degrees. Waving as you're coming down the driveway. Why? Because I want the very first thing that you see when you drive down this driveway is that your pastor loves you. Not in word, but in deed. I care for you. I love you. I want you to know that God's got a plan for you. And I'm going to push you. I'm going to drive you. I'm going to spur you. I'm going to kick you. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to kiss you. But I want you to know, I believe that God has great things for your life. But we cannot do it without love. We cannot do it without love. And man, I can't talk about it. I gotta show it. People do a lot of talking, not a lot of showing. Amen. This is where we have to be different. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, we are the supernatural church. Shout, we are unstoppable because we seek and save souls. We are a soul-winning church. We do three things here. We love God. We save souls. And we develop leaders. What are the three things we do? We love God. We save souls. And we develop leaders. If we do any of that without love, it is worthless. Can I ask you a question? Not to meddle. When was the last time you did some level of ministry where it was inconvenient, where you demonstrated love? No, 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 not natural love. Supernatural love. When was the last time you did that? And I want to challenge you. God's got great plans for your life. Don't cheat yourself. There's no greater feeling than looking at somebody and they look at you and they say, thank you. I know you didn't know. I remember one kid, I went up to him and I said, you know, I just feel compelled by God just to give you a hug. I hope you don't mind. I just want to give you a hug. I want you to know I love you. And he was kind of one of those like standoffish people. So giving him a hug was like a real big thing. He was like, don't touch me kind of guy. And I walked up and I gave him a hug and I said, just want you to know I love you. And he said, what you don't know is that after this church service, I already had it planned. I was going home. I had my gun loaded and I was going to shoot myself in the head. He said, but because you gave that love to me, I felt God hug me. Not that I'm God, but God uses you to show him. Demonstration. Some of you are very unfulfilled in life because you don't demonstrate. Only natural. God has supernatural. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this kingdom, your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I thank you, God, you have a divine plan for each one that's sitting in this sanctuary and all those that are watching by live stream and all those that will be watching via television in Jesus' name. I declare, God, that we will start loving you more and God will start getting out there and loving other people. Holy Spirit, you dwell inside of us. We ask that you'll start convicting us. Where week after week we slide into this mold where we do nothing for anybody else. We show no love of heaven. We show no love of God. Holy Spirit, please teach us. It's not about natural love. It's about supernatural love. God will couple everything we do with the gospel of Christ, for we are not ashamed of it. And we will lead people to Jesus. We just love you so much. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, we have a family in the church that are on vacation right now. And I can't tell you how many text messages that are saying, I just led, I think, 4 people to Jesus on vacation. Listen, and they're like, they didn't have like a real Jesus background, but they're getting this thing. Do you know I haven't really heard anything about how beautiful Jamaica is? I've only really heard how God has used their life to touch other people. Why? Because as beautiful as Jamaica is, or beautiful as an island is, beautiful as heat is, it's there, you get used to it, and you move on. But when you can change your life through the love and the power of Jesus, it's something you never forget. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, no, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm talking to you about the demonstration of true love. That God, before you ever knew him, God, before you ever desired him, while you're still living the lifestyle you are, he says, I love you. I love you. He says, I sent my son. I proved it. I demonstrated it. I sent my son. He died on that cross so that your sins can be washed away. You see, today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, somebody's got to pay for those sins. If Jesus doesn't pay for them, if you don't accept Christ to pay for those sins, then you've got to pay for them yourself. That's why people say to me, how could God send anybody to hell? God sends no one to hell. We send ourselves. We've chosen to pay our own price for sin. But I got great news for you. It's called good news. He chose to pay it for you. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he paid the price. He demonstrated his love. And all you need to do is receive it. It's that free. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you want him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up in the air right now. I want to pray with you this morning. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Is there anyone else this morning? Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Come on, I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, sir. That's all right. Here we go. Anybody else this morning? I'm not going to wait real long. 5, 4, 3. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. 2. Last call. And 1.
I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm not sure who's doing this week. Who's in charge of salvations this week? Come here, baby girl. Hi. You are so beautiful. You stepped on my foot, honey.
I'm sorry.
Step up one more because you're a little shorter. There we go. Isn't she beautiful? Did you give your heart to the Lord here? Yeah. She gave her heart to Jesus here. And God has changed her life. Listen, this is why she loves doing what she loves doing this. Why? Because Jesus changed her life. You came from a long ways. God's come, and now she's in Bible school. She's going to join the ministry. So when she prays with you today, it's not just, she knows. She knows what it does when you receive Christ. Changes your whole life. Amen. So if you raise your hand for salvation, we're going to ask you to be brave. Can you turn to the person next to you, everybody here? Turn to the person next to you and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to go up, I'll go with you. Come on, ask them right now. Don't assume they are saved. Don't assume. This morning, if you raise your hand to give your heart to the Lord, I want you to be brave. If you didn't raise your hand, come on, be brave. Meet me right down front right now. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Oh, many more raise their hand. Listen, I'm not going to force you. There you go, baby girl. I'm so proud of you. You'll never be the same from this day forward. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak blessing over this house in the name of Christ. I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I bind up any demon spirit that is trying to destroy the work of the kingdom in this house. And I bind that devil and I command it to come out in Jesus' name. I command right now, you foul spirit, to be bound up. And I command right now in Jesus' name, come out for the glory of God. Lord, I give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory for lives being transformed in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help us love people. Oh, Holy Ghost, please burden us, overwhelm us. Oh God, overwhelm us with the love of people again, that we will do the work of the ministry, that we will love people. Holy Spirit, that you'll use the gifts you've given us so that we will bring glory to our Father in heaven. Oh God, fill heaven and drain hell. God, use our lives to do it in the name of Jesus, we declare. And everybody in agreement said, amen. If you need prayer this morning, the prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you didn't raise your hand or you raise your hand, you still can come up front. Come on up front, right over here. She'll love you. We love you. Have an awesome week.